Can we try that?
Yeah.
Jesus lifted me. Jesus lifted me. Ooh, that's awesome. Jesus lifted me, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Ooh. Can we try that? Because I actually didn't like the blend when I was on melody on the keys. Can we try that? Like verse one.
That's what I was wanting to do.
Yeah, can we try that?
Because then I can just lock that in.
Like verse one. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me.
That's the best blend.
Yeah,
yes.
That very works. Nice. That sounds great.
Let me never go back down. Are you guys cool?
Yes. On that, yeah.
Okay. Be down by this.
Oh yeah, totally. That one I have. Thank you. That's what it's all about.
Key of B flat.
Yeah, we'll try that.
All right, C. This is C.
Morning. My name is Jorge Dominguez. My pronouns are he, him. And it's a great pleasure to be with you all today. Our online host is Jay Phoenix. For those of you who are online, you can connect with her with any questions, any comments you need. And it is really good to be here. And we once again welcome the congregation to this new season here at the table. It is last Sunday, Pastor Mike reminded us that that was the first Sunday that Pastor Kelly was with us officially in the new pastoral team. And today, Pastor Mike, who is still not yet fully with us, agreed to preach. And so for somebody who is not working for us, he is actually working a lot. So thank you, Mike, being with us today. It is also good because today I see in the back the family of Mike, his wife and his two beautiful daughters. Thank you for being here with us today. It's good to be part that you have as part of this family together. Friends, last Sunday, we were sent forth with an invitation to shine our little light in the world. This week in Minneapolis, we saw that fear explode into violence in the fatal shooting of Renee Nicole Good by a federal immigration officer. As I said last Sunday, the grief is real, unresolved, ongoing. During the Advent and Christmas season, we were asked if we can acknowledge our fear while insisting on hope. We were challenged to turn it into action for a world where no one fears for their safety. We were challenged to find a new way forward. Just yesterday, a few of us, 7 or 8 of us, joined hundreds of people who walked silently and peacefully in Sacramento in memory of victims of ICE violence. Across the whole country, there are more than 1,000 of such demonstrations happening this weekend. This little light can turn into a beam of hope. United Methodist Bishop Lanek Plambeck of the Minnesota area wrote a pastoral message to her conference this week, and I shared that in the newsletter with all of you if you want to read it. And she wrote in that letter, that message, "In this fragile space between tragedy and truth, may we be a people who lament honestly, seek justice humbly, and refuse the lie that violence has the final word. We hold fast to the resurrection promise that love endures and that life, not death, will have the final say." As we remember today Jesus' baptism, whether we have been baptized or not, whether we remember it or not, we have an opportunity to claim the very real ways in which God comes to light in the church and in our lives. Through baptism, God declares that we are beloved children of God. So I invite you to stand in body or in spirit for our call to worship. When one passes through the cleansing waters of baptism and the troubled waters of our lives, God declares, "I will be with you." When we go through the fires that refine us and the fires that threaten our livelihoods, God declares, "I will be with you." Even when we travel to the far corners of the earth or down into the depths of our souls, God declares, I will be with you. So come, let us worship God whose love never fails, whose presence never leaves, whose mercies never end. Praise be to God, who in the form of Jesus waded into the waters of baptism to prove God's solidarity with us. Amen. Our opening hymn invites us to gather at the water together, remembering the baptism of Jesus, the communities and the ancestors who carried us here, and the shared life we are called to protect and nurture. Please remain standing and help us sing, Shall We Gather at the River?
Together.
You may be seated. Let's be in attitude of prayer.
You, darkness, of who I am born. I love you more than the flame that limits the world, to the circle it illumines and excludes all the rest. But the dark embraces everything, shapes and shadows, creatures and me, people, nations, just as they are. It lets me imagine a great presence stirring beside me. I believe in the night.
If you know this one, Be Thou My Vision, please help us sing along with the singers here. Please stand as well in body and soul.
Good morning. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I am the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table, and my pronouns are he and him. Let's all breathe in and breathe out. We are so glad that you're here this morning. It is time in our service as we invite our children to move from the sanctuary to Godly Praise Sanctuary. Our musician will help us with a very special walking music, and we will sing to our children on their way.
All right, sing it if you know it. Here we go.
Christ divine.
We have two godly place space at the table, one for kindergarten through second grade and one for third through sixth grade. Caregivers may pick up their children upstairs after worship. I'll remind families that we receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, which is a monastery-based school for children who are part of family experiencing homelessness. We have loving and professional care for our youngest children, those who are four and under, just down the hall at the A-frame. This is the time of the year we invite you to prayerfully consider our deep commitment to God, our community of faith, and communities we are to call to serve. You can find 2026 Deep Commitment on our website or the QR code that is on our screen right now. Each year, Habitat for Humanity Built for Unity takes place World Interfaith Harmony Week and brings together over 200 communities, participants from all faiths and beliefs to help build homes, communities, and hope. This year, volunteers from the table will join our other communities of faith to help build home in Sierra Drive community in Citrus Heights. The volunteer shift for Saturday, January 31st is full, and there will be one spot on Friday, February 6th. You can register using the QR code on the screen to be part of this important impact and to add to your wish list or waiting list. Another way you can reach out in love is to join our Monday, January 19th, 2026, from 9 to 11 a.m. for annual Martin Luther King Jr. volunteer shift at the Table Farm. And the last one is to reach in love is to join SAC ACT, faith leaders and communities of members at the fourth multi-faith prayer vigil on Thursday, January 22 at noon at John Moses Federal Building in downtown Sacramento. Yesterday has been a hard day for me, and I wanted to share it with my table community. I went at a vigil for Renee Good, and then I went to a funeral of Alvin Prasad. Both were murdered. Both were amazing human being. One was murdered by ICE agent, and one was murdered by hateful human being who were racist and homophobic. And at the end of the day, I met Chelsea Fox. Chelsea Fox, she's a drag queen. 6 months ago, she was on the street homeless. She had no home. She had worked 21 years in government. Really good job. But she didn't know who she was. And went to the spiral and was later retired and ended up being on the streets. And Chelsea shared something with me. She said it was only one person from the community who reached out to her. And that was Alvin. Alvin and others, but leading him, he led Gomi Fund for Chelsea. And Chelsea put herself up. She got out of the street. And now she's a bartender at Faces. And she's amazing. And she said, it just needed one person, just one, to reach out to her. And I wanted to share that because it's so amazing to be here on a Sunday, being an immigrant, being a person of color, being gay man, at a community like this, that you all give so much hope and love and to each other. So thank you. Thank you. Now I invite you to remain seated as we sing Want. This song gives voice to the kind of becoming faith invites, softening what's hardened, hard, choosing compassion and letting love shape how we move through the world with one another.
Amen, and thank you, music team. My name is Bob Martinez. My pronouns are he and him. Our reading this morning is from the third chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and I'll be sharing from the Common English Bible. Now at that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him, and he said, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me?" Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him."
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to do some logistical shifting here for a minute. My name is Mike. My pronouns are he and him, and it is good to be with you this morning. And I do want to say, doesn't the communion table look amazing this morning, particularly so? I'm told that our artist in residence, Eric, am I remembering that right? Okay, painted that piece specifically for today, for our Baptism of the Lord Sunday, so I just wanted to acknowledge that. Helen was the matriarch of the first church that I pastored. And she had been raised in a charismatic, Pentecostal, fundamentalist religious tradition. And by the time I came to know her, she was in her late 60s, early 70s. And over the course of her life had shifted in terms of her theology, in terms of her religious belief, and how she viewed God and how she viewed us in relation to God, and had really kind of landed in a much more moderate and in some respects even liberal place. And she was, she had a several kids that were grown and on their own, and grandkids as well. And at one point, one of the daughters who lived out of the area asked Helen and her husband if they'd be willing to watch the grandkids for a week because she and her husband were going to go on a trip of some sort. And of course, you know, they were happy to do that, have the grandkids for a week, and they were young. They weren't even school age yet. And kind of as a testimony to how far Helen had kind of shifted in her own belief and in religious practice, this particular daughter and husband didn't go to church. They didn't claim any kind of religious identity of any sort. The kids, you know, had not had any real experience in learning about God, let alone Jesus or Christianity. And Helen was not at all angsty about that. because her understanding of God's capacity and God's love and God's grace was expansive enough and deep enough that it didn't faze her in the way that it probably would have if she had stayed rooted in the tradition of her most formative years. So the grandkids came, spent a week with Grandma and Grandpa, had a great time. And at one point during that week, when Helen was giving them their baths, she felt compelled to baptize them right there in the tub. She kind of tried to summon up pieces of prayers and liturgy from all of her years of experiencing baptisms in church and created this little ritual and just baptized them right there in the tub. When she told me later about that, I was confused and curious, and I said, well, what compelled you to do that? Because again, I knew that the way she thought about God and the way she thought about how God relates to us was, again, expansive and deep enough that, you know, this act, this covert baptism in the bathtub, you know, felt weird to me. And she said, and it took her a little while because I think she wasn't even quite sure herself what was underneath it. And finally, she said to me, I just found myself thinking, what if I was wrong? What if they weren't enough? What if God did require something more? Now, those questions that bubbled up in her heart and in her mind in that bathroom were very focused to those precious little grandbabies in the bathtub in front of her. But in reality, they're much broader questions. They're universal questions that I think we all ponder and puzzle and sometimes worry over during the course of our lives. Because ultimately, they're questions about who are we? Who we are and whose we are in an ultimate sense. Are we people that out of God's abundant grace, God chooses to tolerate in spite of ourselves? Or are we people that God claims as beloved and sacred no matter what? Are we people that God has to work God's self into knots over to constantly try to intervene and intercede to make us worthy? Or are we people that God delights in from the moment of our birth till we draw our last breath and beyond? See, these are the questions that are also bound up in baptism and the tradition and the history of baptism. These questions are why today different Christian traditions understand, believe in, and practice baptism differently, because we answer those questions differently. And it shows up in how we conduct the ritual of the celebration of baptism. In the liturgical calendar, which is kind of the master worship schedule of the Universal Church, today is designated as Baptism of the Lord Sunday. And so it's a day that gives us the opportunity to hear and remember the story of Jesus' own baptism. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell very similar variations of the story of Jesus' baptism. And there are biblical scholars who make the argument that we should not conflate the story of Jesus' baptism with our own, because we are not Jesus. And I am more than happy to concede that point. I am not Jesus. I'm sure my wife and children would be more than happy to concede that point. But here's the thing. We're not Jesus. But Jesus is us. That's the whole point of the incarnation. That's what the idea of God with us is about. When John's gospel talks about the Word becoming flesh and living in our midst, right? Jesus is us. And so if Jesus is us, then I do believe that there is something instructive for us in the story of Jesus' own baptism. And so according to the story, very simply put, as Jesus comes up out of the water, this Holy Spirit is seen descending in the form of what looks like a dove, and this voice, this kind of disembodied voice from the heavens, proclaims some variation of, "This is my beloved child, and I am pleased with him." So here's the question. Does that truth about Jesus' belovedness in the eyes of God only come into reality for the first time in that moment as Jesus comes up out of the baptismal waters? Or is Jesus' baptism a public affirmation, proclamation, celebration of a reality and a truth that already exists, that Jesus is already and will continue to be God's beloved child in whom God delights? For my part, I think it's the latter. For folks, though, who have a different concept, a different belief in terms of baptism and what's happening there and what it's about, will sometimes question what I just said and will then say, well, if that's the case, why does it matter? If nothing's actually happening in that moment, if nothing new is being done in that moment, if it's simply a reminder of something that already is the case, why does it matter? And to that, I have to say, how can that not matter? How can it not matter for us to have opportunities to be reminded that we are beloved and sacred in the eyes of God? How can it not matter for us to have opportunities to proclaim that identity for ourselves and others, that God delights in all of us? How can that not matter? We live in an environment where we are perpetually bombarded with narratives about who we are and about whose we are, meaning the places where our commitments, our values, our loyalties are supposed to be placed. And the vast majority of those narratives, friends, are not for our benefit. They are narratives that are created and composed by people in positions of power and authority and status for self-serving, self-perpetuating reasons. They are narratives that are pushed out and dispersed and disseminated by structures and systems that are in place to support the top 1%. They're narratives that are fed to us to monetize our sense of identity for others. So how can it not matter for us to remember who and whose we are, that we belong first and foremost to God? Add to that the fact that we are now living in a time in this country where increasing numbers of people are being told in a wide variety of ways that they are less than. Being told by words, being told by changes in policy, being told by agents of the federal government, that they are less than sacred, less than worthy of even the most basic respect and human dignity. And that narrative not only is demoralizing to the human spirit, not only robs people of their capacity to dream and move forward in life and to thrive, that narrative is deadly. Literally deadly. And yes, I'm talking about what happened this week in Minneapolis in Renee Good's murder. Recognizing, cognizant that that is just the most recent example of countless other people, particularly our black and brown brothers and sisters, who have had their lives robbed of them because of this narrative, this false, twisted narrative. So in this kind of environment, remembering who we are and whose we are, remembering that we are beloved and sacred in the eyes of God, that we are beings in whom God delights, isn't just an act of hope, my friends, it's an act of resistance and defiance. So of course, it matters. It matters now more than ever. So let us perpetually seek to remember who and whose we are, to claim it for ourselves, to proclaim it for the people around us who need that reminder. Because ultimately, the more that we do that, the more that we are able to remember our own beloved and sacredness, it increases our capacity to remember and to recognize and defer and affirm that same belovedness and sacredness in everybody else. And if it doesn't do that, then what's happening in that moment isn't about remembering who and whose we are in the eyes of God. It's about lifting up some warped sense of our own superiority and supremacy. And God has absolutely nothing to do with that. Again, it matters. It matters, it matters, it matters. It's always mattered. Now, in this time, in this particular place, more than ever. Amen. Jesus never baptized anyone. He was baptized. We've just remembered that story. But Jesus did also frequently participate in another communal act at the table, where Jesus invited not only his disciples, but also strangers and outcasts to gather around the table and break bread. He invites us to do this in remembrance of him. And just as the promise of baptism reminds us that we are all beloved in God's eyes, The invitation to communion reminds us that there is always a place at God's table where we are welcomed, included, and loved, and where the sustaining and nourishing love and grace of God is always there for us. So this invitation is for you, is for each and every one of us. Come, all are welcome.
When the Gospel of Matthew tells that story of Jesus' baptism, Matthew tells us that in that moment, Jesus was identified as God's beloved child. Friends, we trust that God loves us with that same love. And yet, there is much in the world that causes us to doubt that love. So we bring that brokenness to the God who loves us, trusting that God meets us with grace. So I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join me in sharing with one voice our prayer of confession. Let us pray. Loving God, from the very beginning, you breathed life into us and called us good. However, somewhere along the way, we replaced good with not enough. Somewhere along the way, we turned up the volume on that phrase and began to doubt our own self-worth. Forgive us, for this is not what you have taught us. For when the world tells us we are not enough, you call us beloved. Show us how to return to that truth. Show us how to let go of our weariness and rest in that good news. Amen.
Amen. Family of faith, God's grace and understanding is deeper and wider than we could possibly imagine. So say these words of grace along with me. Our story begins with belovedness. Even when we lose our way, even when we stumble and fall, God never stops breaking through the clouds to claim us. We are known, we are forgiven, we are beloved. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor. The peace of Christ be with you. Would you take a moment to offer signs of the peace of Christ to those around you?
Thank you.
Let us pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples and which have been formed and reformed through the generations. This morning, we will share a paraphrase of the Lord's Prayer from the New Zealand Prayer Book. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all.
God, pour out your Spirit on us gathered in many places. Pour out your Spirit on the gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and love of Christ, and make us, through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Amen. I invite you to be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love. And in this church, and in the United Methodist Church as a whole, the table is open to all people, and all means all. We want to encourage those joining us at home to light a candle, gather bread and juice in whatever form that you might have, and whether you're online or whether you're here in the sanctuary, know that you do not need to be a member of this church or any church to participate. We are all God's children, and this is not our table, this is God's table, and there is a place for everyone around it. We'll have two stations to receive communion here in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back. Each station has freshly made bread, gluten-free crackers, and juice is in each cup. After breaking off a piece of the bread or taking a piece of the bread and dipping it into the juice, you can make your way around the sides to pray with the candles at the prayer stations for as long as you desire, or return to your pews to be in a prayerful spirit. In addition to that, this morning, you will also find three different stations kind of along the sides of the communion stations, two up here in the front in the corners and one in the back, that will allow you to remember your belovedness in the eyes of God. You will find bowls filled with water, and in the water are glass beads. You are invited to reach into the water, which symbolizes the fact that we are always immersed in the grace and the love of our God, and take one of those beads. And the hope is that you will take it and you will put it somewhere where you'll see it often, and that in seeing it, you will perpetually be reminded that you are a sacred and beloved child of God in whom God delights. And this is for everyone. Whether you've been formally baptized or not, the truth remains the same and claims all of us. So I invite you to also participate in that as well. But let us now prepare to move together with tender care in this divine dance.
This is the body of Christ and bread of life, broken for you.
This is God's love, poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
For folks who are praying along the sides of the sanctuary, take all the time you need. And let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. In this bread and cup, may your peace make us one and call us to love one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to join us in giving generously to support the ministries at the table. The generosity of our community allows us to lean into God's unfolding call on our lives and align more deeply with God's healing love and justice. Another way to reach in love is to support Rise Up Bread, which is available just outside the sanctuary doors. I invite us to stand in body or in spirit. As we go, this song reminds us that none of us rise alone. We are carried by love, lifted by community, and sent to be that same support to others, especially those most vulnerable. Our musicians will send us out this morning with "I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me."
Lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me.
Satan had me bound.
Jesus lifted me.
Satan had me bound.
Jesus lifted me.
Satan had me bound.
Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Lifted me
when I was in trouble.
Jesus lifted me
when I was in trouble.
Jesus lifted me, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me.
God will lift us. God will lift us. God will lift us. God will lift us.
Friends, go forth. Remember that you are beloved and sacred in the eyes of God. Claim that for yourself, proclaim that for others, and let's reclaim the narrative. Amen.
Amen.
after, I'm like, wait, maybe I jumped that like crazy. Everybody can hear what I'm saying. We know what part it is. Yeah. Sweet. It was really fun, man. It's a good set. I like it.
Wasn't that fun?